wrestling's on fire and the Holy Ghost touching the head, the soul of my feet. I felt the Spirit moving on over me.
yourself a dance partner. Take somebody by the hand and say, come on. When they came out of the Red Sea, Miriam took up a tambourine and they began to praise God for deliverance. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Come on, touch somebody and tell them you should have been there when I prayed through. The church was on fire. My God. Just for a moment tonight, if you've been redeemed and your sins have been purged, I want you to give God good praise for that. Hey, I'm not what I used to be. God buried it beneath the crimson flood. And everybody that's been delivered, shout amen. Ah, hallelujah. Shout all you want now, because we're going to work in the word a little bit tonight. And then we may shout some more. Let's read tonight in Zechariah chapter 5. Aren't you glad to be a part of the kingdom of the living God? The church is going to officially grow by one tomorrow. Sister Jenny and Brother Adrian are going down to the hospital in the morning to be delivered. Another boy. A little thrill just went through all the little toddler girls. And they don't know why yet. Praise God. Isn't God good? Are you enjoying living for God? Is it getting better? I'm just telling you, it's going to continue to get better. Grows brighter all the way. If it's not getting better, God hasn't changed and God's plan hasn't changed. Zechariah chapter 5, as we're making our way through the Old Testament. And let's begin in verse 5. I've been listening to this with Alexander Scoresby, and I just really get tickled. And the angel said, look upon this. And he said, what is it? And it may not tickle you, but it does me. So I may make my way through this without losing my composure. Zechariah 5 and verse 5. And the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah. And an ephah is like a measuring basket, or a basket for holding or carrying grain, but it is a measuring basket. And this is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. He said, they're just like this anywhere you go. It's just a common ephah or measuring basket. And verse 7, and behold, there was lifted up a talent, 100 pounds of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. He looks in there. The NIV reads it a little bit different. And the NIV exclaims, and there was a woman in it. She's sitting in this basket. She's in there. A woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah. And we get the impression that he just holds something in his hand. And he's already got the lid off the ephah. And he says, and this is wickedness. And here's what you do with it. And he throws it into the ephah where that woman is. And he casts it into the midst of the ephah. And he casts the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. He closed that thing up. 100-pound lead stopper in that. He sealed that thing up. And I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, and they had wings like the wings of a stork or a great white bird, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. And then I said to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said to me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Praise God. If you love his word, as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word. Forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, for your presence in this place tonight. We thank you for the privilege of standing in your house. We thank you, mighty God, for your word that is rich and powerful, wonderful in our lives. And everyone said amen. Praise God. Now, as we read this tonight, it is fairly clear, the at least in the natural appearance of this metaphor that God is presenting, or this symbolism that God is presenting to the prophet. And he takes this ephah and he puts wickedness in it and he closes the top. And then these ladies appear with wings like storks and they bear it off to Shinar. And Shinar is Babylon. Shinar is where they said, no, we don't want to be scattered abroad across the face of the earth. Shinar is where they said, let's make for ourselves a city and a name for ourselves so we don't get scattered like God wants us to be scattered. And so they dug in their heels and they began to build a tower, and that's where God confused fused their languages, and it was called Babel. But it's right in the middle of present-day Iraq. It's right there where Babylon stood later, years later, with Nebuchadnezzar and the conquering kings of Babylon. And when you make your way all the way over to the book of Revelation, you find a discourse on Mystery Babylon, the great harlot, the mother of whores. And you find her to be the seat of all the cumulative wickedness of the world. Pagan worship and gods and goddesses and the ideology for that sprang up out of Babylon. And Babylon is always associated with the pagan gods that worm their ways into the hearts of the people of God. And so Judah and Israel continually failed God. And so Babylon is like Egypt, a type of sin. Babylon is like Sodom and Gomorrah, a type of sin. And they become representative places that God will use as representative terms for another place. For example, when God is talking about the wickedness of Jerusalem, he calls that city Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Well, you know by the last line that he's talking about Jerusalem. But what he says is the same evil that was in Sodom is now in Jerusalem. And he said the same evil that was in Gomorrah and in Egypt now resides among my people. And so as we're looking at this scenario that is prophetically given to us here, wickedness is placed within an ephah. Or if you would, evil is placed within an ephah. And I'll be frank with you, I don't really want to talk tonight about the woman that's in the basket. But that woman goes to take up residence in Babylon. And it may be a prophetic prefiguring of Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. It may be a prophetic prefiguring of what we find in Revelation chapter 17. But that's not what we're dealing with tonight. What I want to talk to you about is the fact that the angel showed the prophet what to do with evil and what to do with sin. He said, here's what you do. You take that wicked. He said, see here, this is wickedness. And he put it in that ephah. And he took a 100-pound lead closure and he closed that thing up. He said, this is what you need to do with evil. This is what you need to do with wickedness. This is what you need to do with sin. You need to close it up and send it on its way. He said, where are they going with that? Where are they taking it? They're going to take it to a place and build a house for it. And it's going to sit there on its own base. It'll have a place. It'll have a house. There is a place for evil in the world. There is a place for wickedness in the world. There is a place for sin in the world. But the angel showing the prophet, it's not here. It's not in this land. It's not among my people. There's evil in the world, and there's sin in the world, and there's wickedness in the world, but there's no place for that in and among the people of God. And he's showing him, here's what you can do with that. You see, what is this? It's an ephah. He said, that's right. Look in there. There's a woman sitting in there. Well, we're not going to talk about her tonight. But he said, look at this. This is wickedness. And he put it in that ephah. And then he took that 100-pound lead stopper and put it in there. And then these winged women took it all the way to Babylon. Well, praise God. There's a place for sin, but not here. There's a place for wickedness, but not here. There's a place for rebellion, but not here. There's an Athaliah somewhere who kills all the royal seed, but not here. There's a Jezebel somewhere who seduces kings and brings in Baal worship, but not here. There's a young person that's going to deceive and going to plant rebellion in the heart of all of her peers, but not here. There's a young man who's going to be full of rebellion and sin and bring disgrace on his mama and his daddy, but some young man shout, but not here. My God is a decision. It's not something you inherit. It's not something inescapable. It's not something that has to befall you. My God, Reggie, you quoted it tonight. The young men were strong because the word of God abided in them, and they overcame the wicked one. Give your neighbor a high five and tell him you don't have to sin. Tell him put it in an ephah. Put a stopper in it. Not some little transparent Weasley stopper. Not some little tiny paper mache stopper. Not some little flimsy nickel and dime thing. But get yourself a 100-pound lead stopper. Close that thing up and send it on its way. My God, it was sin that got them kicked out of the garden. It was sin that separated God and his people that he loves so well. It was sin that God depicted as leprosy in the Old Testament. Something that deadens the neurological ends so that you lose your sensitivity and it begins to corrode by continual infection and eat away at your extremities. And there has never been a more apt shadow of sin. It begins little by little. When you first do it, you feel a little something about it. You don't feel at ease about it. But if you continue in sin, you begin to feel a little deadened about it, a little hardened about it, and even boldly say, I don't feel convicted about that anymore. My Holy Ghost is not convicting me about that anymore. My God is not. Yeah, that's because you got leprosy moving in you, and you're rotting away in your spirit from the leprosy of sin. God told Israel, it's your sin that has separated you from me. And God came down from heaven to spill his holy blood to purchase our souls and to cover our sins. If you're glad for the covering of sin tonight, let's give God praise. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Casual about sin. The culture's casual about it. The society's casual about it. And churches have become casual about it. And pulpits have become silent because they're afraid of the repercussions of preaching against and naming sin. But that angel said, look, see, here is wickedness. You got to know what it is before you can put it away. You got to know what thus saith the word of God before you can walk righteously before God. My God, there's people across this country that are telling young men that you can live for Jesus Christ and be a homosexual. How do you get there? By systematic decay, by gradualism. Little by little, the debilitating force of sin eating away at your sensitivity until nothing is sin. Until every funeral that you go to, they preach them into glory. And nobody in the room believes it, but they all hope it because they hope somebody gives them a break at their funeral. And it's a conspiracy of silence and a conspiracy of sin. But the angel said, see, here is wickedness. My God, there's a biblical definition for sin. There's a biblical definition for wickedness. And we need to quote what thus saith the word of God. Somebody say amen. My God, I want to stand righteous before God. I want to be found righteous before God. I want my house to be righteous. I want my babies to be righteous. I want my life to be pleasing. The meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth. Somebody say praise the Lord. Not a day for an apostolic church to be casual about sin. Now we love people and we love sinners. And I talked about that this morning. And God loves you. If you've got sin in your life, Mary Magdalene had seven devils in her, and Jesus loved her and restored her. We love sinners, but we hate sin. My God, one of the defining things that God said about Job was that he is a perfect man who loves God and eschews sin. It is the counterpart of the New Testament phrase to walk circumspectly, walk at a distance, keep it away from you. I don't want to see how close I can get to it. I want to see how close I can get to the Word of God. I don't want to see how carnal we can get and still make it. I don't want to know what the minimum standard is. I want you to get me up here somewhere where I'm safe and my house is safe and my family is safe. I don't want to get so close. I'm breathing in the toxic fumes of a world that has long forgotten God. I want to get some distance. I want to take that wickedness and identify it for what it is. I want to put it in that ephah and I want to close the lid on that thing. Woo. I don't want to flirt with it. I don't want to play with it. Shake your neighbor pretty good and tell him sin will kill you. It'll wreck your home. Tell him it'll wreck your family. It'll destroy your spirit. You'll find yourself outside the presence of God. I read in the Word of God where the prophet watched the Spirit of God come out of the temple and out by the gate and out to the outer court and out on the side of the mountain, and it was Ichabod. God hath departed. Sin will do that. Casual attitude about sin will do that. We don't ever want to be Pharisees who are mean to people. We want to love people. I want to sit down in Bible studies and have them offer me a beer and cigarettes. And I just say, not tonight. I've been there. I love that. That's just symptomatic. That's not their problem. Their problem is distance from God. As I draw them by the Word of God into proximity with God, they begin to shed things that they never even knew about before. We love people. And God loves sinners. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves sinners. Don't misunderstand me tonight, but God is ferocious about sin because it's a disease that gets on people that he loves. Ah, God, you young people, that siren song of the world comes and taps on your door, comes and rings the bell of your mind and tries to entice you out. Don't you know that you can be a host for something that has the pernicious quality to come into your home and undermine the godliness in that home, your mom and your dad included? Don't you understand? You better get an attitude about it. You better get an attitude about it. Don't let a friend, don't let a partner here in the house of God. My God, if there's another young person here that has a problem in sin, pray for them. Love them, but get yourself some distance between them. Don't be bringing that home. Don't be bringing that into your life. Come on, somebody. Don't be bringing that into your life. Paul said, if they're not obeying what I brought to you, don't have lunch with them. Don't communion with them. Because birds of a feather flock together. You okay? I'm about done. Give us Psalms 1, Justin. And let's look at a process here. Praise God. I'm telling you, tonight, somebody needs to put something that has the power to come between you and God. You need to put that in an ephah with a woman or without one in it. And you need to put the stopper in that thing And you need to see if God won't transport it out of your life. I want to know, has anybody here been delivered? I mean, there was a time when something captivated your mind and captivated your desires, and then by process of repentance and the Word of God, somehow one day you were there and the next day you were free. And all the ex-smokers said amen. And all the ex-winos said amen. And all the ex-druggers said amen. And all those that were consumed with desires that are not like God. But all of a sudden one day, it's been a long time. I love it. I love it when we give blood out here and they go through the profile and they go down the normal thing and they ask, do you smoke? And I love telling them, not for 35 years. Still got a little hack, but not for 35 years. Do you drink anymore? Not for 35 years. Do you do drugs anymore? It's been 35 years. You should have been there when I prayed through. My God, the church was on fire. Something got a hold of me. I don't walk the way I used to walk. I don't talk the way I used to talk. There's a new man walking in my shoes. And I don't do the thing I used to do. My God, has anybody been delivered? Has anybody been changed? You know hell hates that. Hell hates that because you're a walking, talking billboard for the kingdom of God and the power of the gospel. When the Pharisees were plotting to kill Jesus, in John there's a discussion of a supper going on in Bethany, and Lazarus, that was dead, was seated there at supper with them. And the Pharisees were saying, we've got to kill this man Jesus, but we got to kill Lazarus too. We've got to get rid of him, because everywhere he goes, he's a billboard for the power of God. He's a siren for the power of the resurrection and the life that came in with that man, Jesus Christ. So we not only have to kill God, but we've got to kill you too. You know, the devil hates you and hates your testimony and wants to do anything he can to make you a little bit ashamed of what God has done for you. But you need to pull, listen to me tonight. You need to pull that out every day. It ought to be a part of your prayer life. You ought to pull that testimony out. I thank you, God, because I used to be this and now, oh, look at what you made me. I thank you, God. You ought to pull it out every day and shine it up. You ought to pull it out every day and talk about it again. I used to be lost, but now I'm a part of the kingdom of God. Praise God. Psalms 1:1. Everyone say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Does that sound good? Is that what you want to be? That brings forth his fruit in his season. You're going to be fruitful. Good things are going to break forth in your life. Good things are going to break forth in your life. But not if you're walking in sin. But if you're meditating on the things of God day and night. And his leaf will not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Go on. The ungodly. The sinners, they're not like that. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. How many of you really want to go to heaven? Can't do it with active sin in your life. Can't do it. How many of you really love God and are thankful tonight? You can't please him with active sin in your life. You got to get rid of this. Come on, come on, come on. We preach grace. We preach love. But don't you sit down on this pew with active sin in your life and an altar here that you can run to. You need to run to this altar. Repentance ought to be a part of your daily prayer. God, today, cleanse me. God, today, wash me. God, today, purge me of everything that's not like you. Praise God. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They can't stand up there. They can't be upright in the judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They're not able to stand there. There's a delineation in the scripture between saint and sinner. Go back to verse 1. Blessed. Who all wants a blessing in his or her life. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen to me. If you're listening to a backslider on a regular basis, you need to shut that door. You need to get your lead stopper. Put that backslider in an ephah and close the door. If you've got a television in your house, you need to put that television in an ephah and put that. If you got movies in your house, you need to put those movies in that ephah and say, what's wrong with that? That's Hollywood. That's the worldly Egyptian culture. You're letting it migrate into your life and into your house, and you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. They're telling you what love is. They're telling you what beauty is. They're telling you what's acceptable. They're telling you what's cool. They're telling you what's desirable. But they don't know anything. They're killing themselves. They're running from bed to bed. They're all on a fast track to hell. Do they know what beauty is? No. God does. Do they know what desirable is? No. God does. So if you got a bunch of those old trashy magazines that you bought in the checkout at Walmart because you were so bored, stiff about that, and they got all these anorexic gals in bathing suits on the front, you need to put that in an ephah. You say, well, I don't have an ephah. You need to find you an ephah. I guarantee you have one under your kitchen counter. I'll guarantee you have one that's a little circular thing in your bathroom. I'll guarantee you got ephahs all over your house where you can put that's not like God. You can take it. How many of you on the day that you repented and came to God the very first time, you took all the contraband and the drugs and all of those things that are not like God out of your house and you found a dumpster or you put them in a fire? How many of you? Might be time for some house cleaning. Might be time for some house cleaning. Don't let sin come between you and God. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That doesn't stand. And now you watch the progression. First he's just walking with them. Then he's standing with them. And then he's sitting down with them. And that's exactly how that works on you. So the first, they touch your neighbor and say, don't even walk with them. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? My God, I teach people Bible studies all the time, but I don't fellowship them for fun and for nurture. I'll buy them lunch. I'll buy them dinner. I'll bring the word of God to them. But I'm not looking to them for a definition of how I ought to live my life. I look to the word of God and to the people of God and to the church of the living God. You watch yourself if you're beginning to say, well, nobody at church loves me. And I don't have any friends at church. So I'm going to go look for a friend in Egypt. You're going to crawl right in that ephah with that woman. What you're going to do? The Bible is so plain and simple. If you want friends, what do you have to do? That's the biblical solution. You know what my response? You tell me I don't have any friends. I'm going to tell you, you're not friendly. You're a stick in the mud. You're moping around, old Poe Willie. Don't you feel sorry for me? I'm moping around. I got a frown on my face all the time. No, nobody wants to hang around with you. Nobody wants to come to your pity party. Nobody wants to pat you on the back and blow your nose for you. Maybe a good friend once or twice, but nobody wants to live like that. If you'll brighten up and come and greet some people and be halfway decent to folks, you'll have lots of friends. And best friends I have are apostolics in the house of God, lifelong friends. When I prayed through, I left everybody that I loved in the world. They either prayed through or they hated me after that. We lost all the friends that we had. But you know, the very best friends I've ever had in my life are the people of God. Not going to walk with them. Not going to stand with them. And I'm not going to sit down with them. Except Bible study. Except to win them. Except. You mean you're real friendly with these people and you are working on an ulterior motive? You're trying to win them to God. That's exactly right. Don't you feel that's disingenuous? No, I do not. I want to trap them. I want to snare them. I want to catch them for the kingdom of God. I'm a fisherman. You think that fish wants to get in the net? You think that fish wants to come in the boat? You think that deer wants to come under the sights of Brother Cliff? You think that catfish wants to come to his house? I'll tell you this, no catfish comes into that house and leaves alive. It's not your nature to come to the kingdom of God. But we catch you. We trap you. We bait you. But we don't want to be like you. We want you to be like this. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Somebody just shout about the gospel here for a minute. Somebody shout about the blood. Somebody shout about redemption. Are you okay? Ephesians 4 and 27. Touch your neighbor and say, neither give place to the devil. Listen, there's a place for the devil. There is. They sent that ephah down to Shinar and said they're going to build it a house. And that wickedness and that woman and that ephah are going to stay there, all locked up in that under that 100-pound lead stopper. Evil is in the world because God made evil. Sin is in the world because God created the capacity for man to choose. All of that is here, working in the plan of God. And there's a place for the devil. The devil is made to be your adversary. Give us Deuteronomy chapter 13. And start in verse 1. And everybody say, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, if Benny Hinn comes to your house and blows on you, if you go to something stupid like that, I hope the catchers drop you. Oh, if there arise. We might as well be plain here. I'm not worried about hurting feelings. I'm worried about people making it to heaven. And I'm telling you, we can't cozy up to a charismatic world and live for God and be apostolic. But I believe we can take territory in this city if we'll remain true. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arise among you and gives you a sign, and that sign or that wonder come to pass whereof he spoke. And then he says, but I've got some really cool gods. Won't you come down and jump over the threshold with me? And let's worship Baal a little bit. And let's stand outside the temple and weep for Tammuz. It's like when people weep for Elvis. That's how this was. Tammuz was the god of fertility of the Babylonians. And the women would stand and weep for Elvis. Did you hear that Michael Jackson died? And they're weeping for Michael. And you know, it's funny. And all the eulogizing and all the articles, everything. I never heard the first person say, and oh, by the way, he was a child molester. Boy, but he could dance, let me tell you. That child molester can dance. I want to dance like him. You a child of God, and you've got a move, or you've got a little act, or you've got a little persona that you put on to mimic that junk out in the world. You make me sick. You're laying the promise of God on the altar of the world. And I don't know what they're doing now. But I do know, boys, that you need to have your pants up so we can't see your drawers. And I do know that you don't need to be involved in all of that junk music. Find something that's got godly lyrics. I don't care what the music is as long as the lyrics are godly. I can hear you coming up in the parking lot. I hope it's godly. He said, let's go worship other gods. Come out here and let's weep for Elvis. Come over here and let's dance like Michael. Come over here and let's all come into church with our baggy pants and our hats on sideways. Come over here with me and let's buy a little short top and a little low skirt so every now and then when we go, whoa, our belly flashes. You better get some clothes on. You better quit walking in the council of the ungodly, standing in the... That's their gods. That's their idols. That's who they worship. That's who they clap for. That's who they weep for. That's who they... Whoa, 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 whoa. And then he says, let's go follow after other gods. And here's the punchline to this Bible study. 3. Don't listen to those words. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Because the Lord, your God, is testing you, is proving you. Where did that false prophet come from? Where did that sin come from? Where did that evil come from? Where did the devil come from? God was before it all, and God made it all, and he put you in the garden with a tree in that garden every day of your life so you can exercise choice, so you can look at that tree and you can say, nope, I'm going to serve God. Nope, I'm going to live for God. So you can look at that bottle and say, nope, I'm going to drink the new wine. So you can look at that drug and say, nope, I'm going to get high on the Holy Ghost. Don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Choice, decision, exercising free moral agency. Opening up the ephah, putting all that junk in it, closing it down, and letting those, whatever they were, stork women, haul that thing off to Babylon. You do with the imagery there what you want to do. This is kind of a free exercise here. I don't know what those things were. May have been angelic or something. For only place in the scripture I find the stork women. Maybe they stayed in Babylon. I don't know. But you need to put all of that in that ephah. Seal it up. I want every man in this house to stand right now, if you would. And I want you to say, there's a place for sin. But not in my life. I want you to tell your neighbor, there's a place for sin. But not in my house. I'll go ahead and quote Joshua. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Now I want you to tell somebody there's a place for sin, but not in my church. You say, my church? Yeah, you better believe. If you don't take ownership of this place, it won't be yours and you won't get much out of it at all. If you're just a spectator, you're not going to drink from what God has for this place. You've got to take ownership of this. You've got to pull out your sword. You've got to be the Levite of your home and of the house of God. I want to know if there's any men in this place that'll say, I'm willing every day to offload anything that attaches to me and put it in that ephah and send it on its way down to Babylon. It belongs over there, but it doesn't belong here. Come on, somebody clap your hands and lift up a praise unto God. Let's all stand. Come on down around the altar with your family. If you don't have family here, adopt somebody real quick. And after they agree to let you adopt, then ask them what's to eat tonight. Because if they adopt you, they got to feed you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you do Sister Bonnie's part? Do that, yeah. Get with your family. Come on. If you're first, step up on these steps. Clear out the middle. Make some room. Come on up close. Step up high. Make room. When you get with your family, begin to tell them, we need to do some life cleaning. We need to do some house cleaning. We need to make sure that everything is pleasing to God. And if it's not, we need to put it in that ephah and close that thing up. If you're the authority in your house, tell them, this house is going to be a house that brings glory to God. Come on, come on, come on. Then I want you to begin to pray for one another. Come on. Pray down glory and righteousness and strength and blessing. Somebody tonight. Yes. Sister Karen's mama's about to go down in the water in Jesus' name.
From the top of my head
to the sole of my feet, sing.
You should have been there
when I prayed through. Hey, and the Holy Ghost.
From the top of my head.
Oh,